Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
This hour is brought to you by Jewel Osco.
Have you ever played quarterback with a severely damaged left hand?
Yeah, I've played with broken bones in both hands, and you know, you play with the dislocated left elbow. More than feasibly possible to have an injury on your left hand or arm and play quarterback in the NFL. As long as it's not going to get worse for Aaron Rodgers, I think there would be a huge, huge chance that he plays.
That was Kurt Warner on with Spiegel and Holmes. This is Raheemi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. Mark Grody will join us in the next segment, live from Hallis Hall. And in the meantime, we try to figure out the status of Aaron Rodgers. Times infinity, plus one, times a thousand, forever and ever. Amen.
We'll see the forever part. Forever is coming to a close soon.
It is.
And that's the good news. Regardless of what happens on the field on Sunday, the idea that Aaron Rodgers can continue to torment the Bears, that ends soon.
Theoretically. In the meantime, we are trying to figure out the status of his wrist. And injury status has been something that we talk about constantly. That doesn't change. But it's trying to figure out how much a non-throwing wrist injury would affect a quarterback. You'd think perhaps not at all. We heard the term slight break in the wrist. Well, what did that mean? I think either it's broken or it's not. And Dr. Brian Cole, who is with Rush and a widely respected orthopedic doctor and surgeon here in the city of Chicago and elsewhere, really nationwide, talked to Molly and Haw about Aaron Rodgers' wrist injury.
There's a variable level of risk depending on what's actually fractured. A lot of times these fractures are basically, they don't even show up on x-ray, but they show up on MRI, so we assume it's a fracture and it might behave like a fracture. So we say, yeah, okay to play, but we've got to do our best to protect it. And you know, different sports have different regulations in terms of how rigidly you can protect it. But, you know, a non-dominant arm, I mean, you're weighing every collision is like a car crash versus trying to keep it out of his arm out of play or that hand or wrist out of play while he's throwing and doing everything else he needs to do. So I would just argue that not all fractures have, you know, very, very high degrees of vulnerability. And I'm guessing it's a measured risk. So in this instance, it's just, you know, hard orthotic typically that can protect it. There's still certain loads. Like the way this one happened was, a fall on an outstretched arm, basically, or an outstretched hand. We call that a Fuchs injury. And so even if you have a sort of thermoplastic splint that protects it, an axial load, which happens with a fall with the arm out straight and the hand to the ground, still could re-injure it in some way. I'm guessing it's a low-risk fracture. That's the issue. I mean, if it was a high risk, they wouldn't be doing it. But you're still, again, calculated risk. I think in general, you know, backing up to your sort of question, the paradigm is, you know, knowing enough about the clinical problem to say that there, despite being a calculated risk, the risk is relatively low against the need of an athlete to be participating. And, you know, things that are franchise-related versus health-related, they're always some of the hardest decisions we make as team physicians and as the healthcare providers in general, from the trainers and staff, you know, to allow a player to play or to continue to protect them so he can't play.
Yeah, that's Dr. Brian Cole, who is also the Bulls and White Sox team physician. So he knows a thing or two about the risk when it comes to letting professional athletes play.
Kind of one of the things that's been kind of a theme for this injury is it's going to come down mostly to just tolerance. You know, you hear him talk about the chance that it could be re-injured or further injured, I guess is the way to put it, because it's a break. But as long as he can go out there and do the functional things a quarterback can do, we've talked all week about his ability to pre-snap to do the things. Can you still execute with this hampered left arm? That's the question.
Well, and then ask yourself a question. When you fall down, how do you fall? You put both your hands down.
Do you actually trust the Bears pass rush to actually knock Aaron Rodgers over, though? Because we've seen sometimes this year they've just done nothing.
Well, that's the concern, is are they going to get home? And what's stopping the Steelers from doing the same thing the Bears do and just running more max protection package or a jumbo package, something that gives them a little extra protection on the line, knowing that there's a really good chance that it's going to work enough to keep him upright?
I think I'm hopeful that the Bears do get to the quarterback. I said it earlier, but I'll restate it. The Bengals injured this man in a game in which they lost 34-12. He can be gotten to. It's just a matter of how much does he kill you before you get to him.
Well, and the skepticism that surrounds the Bears pass rush and the ability to get home is something that is very top of mind here. Has it been better in past weeks? Yes. But at the same time, it's not fully healthy, as we know, with Dyer Dangbo being out. And then also what they're having to do to fill in the gaps. Grady Jarrett, I think, has been a positive. You've seen him push through, especially in this last week. I feel like you can see him getting healthier. You see that speed a little bit more in the burst. I saw it more in this past game than I did the week before.
Here's what we know. J.J. McCarthy didn't get sacked last week. If Aaron Rodgers had been in J.J. McCarthy's shoes, I think the Vikings would have won that game.
That's an important thing. And we are looking at some images right now that are coming through on ESPN of Aaron Rodgers' wrist. And it is wrapped, but I don't think it's that hard orthotic that Dr. Cole alluded to. Makes sense, though. You're in practice. Different scenario. You don't need as much protection in practice on it, probably.
Well, he didn't practice yesterday, so I'm really curious about the injury report today and whether or not he actually practiced or he was just out there. You know, sometimes you see guys out there doing things, but they are not considered a participant in practice.
Yeah, and that's the other part is what does that look like for him today? And we'll find that out a little bit later, too. But again, I guess it is Cobra Kai sweep the leg again.
Sweep the wrist.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason. It's not hard to motivate the Bears this Sunday, especially when you consider there's a reason for everybody to want to do their best to take down an Aaron Rodgers-led team. And for the pass rush, it becomes extra critical knowing that you could eliminate him from the game. You could knock him out of the game. You could do something that would really improve the Bears' chances of winning in that way. I'm not saying injure somebody. But it does make sense that if he's going to be even slightly hampered, the pass rush would be that much more effective against him.
What's interesting is you got to go all the way back to the 2022 season for the last time that Aaron Rodgers faced the Bears, right? And so I'm wondering how many of the players in that locker room truly understand what this Aaron Rodgers thing means, especially because he's not on the Packers anymore, to the city of Chicago. I know a couple of guys, obviously Cole Kmet.
Yeah, Montez Sweat does.
T.J. Edwards.
Yeah, those two are from there, yeah. But Montez Sweat, he's faced Rodgers.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying not that they haven't faced Rodgers before, but understand Bears versus Rodgers and what that means to the city of Chicago. But like I said, Cole Kmet, T.J. Edwards, I'm sure T.J. Edwards is really upset if he can't play this week. Because obviously his hamstring's still healing. He could play with the club if they wanted him to. They didn't put him on IR for a reason.
Clubbed him up. That's the phrase everybody uses.
Hey, club him up. Club him up.
But it is good to know and understand from a doctor's standpoint how that changes what you're doing. Because if you rush him, like we talked about, if he hits the ground, how much force is he going to put on that arm?
That's why Robbie's question is a good one. Like, can they actually put him on the ground? Let's start with that. Do you believe that Aaron Rodgers can be put on the ground by this defensive unit as we know it to be right now?
All I keep saying is like, you better be for what that defensive line is getting paid, but we hadn't seen it as much. How would that work? Or if nothing else, are you, Dennis Allen, willing to go toe-to-toe against Aaron Rodgers, who, like I said, is one of the best in the game when it comes to pre-snap reads, show blitz, actually run blitz, and then afford him to check down like he has so many other times to evade it?
And I know people want to talk about how old Aaron Rodgers is, and he's literally broken right now. But if you can't find a way to get to him with four people, the Bears are going to have a problem winning this game. That's the bottom line. If four people can't get to Rodgers, the Bears are going to have a problem winning this game.
630 says it's a HIPAA violation to discuss Rodgers' injury without his consent. That's not exactly how this works. The NFL has its own rules when it comes to how injuries are reported. And Brian Cole is talking about what happens with that type of injury. So thanks for playing, but not quite the case.
He's not Aaron Rodgers' doctor. That's the first thing you say, and then that ends that conversation.
I think they're just fishing for stuff, but it's worth mentioning just because.
I have a life question.
Of course you
do. I think I know the answer here. Do you think Bears fans want Aaron Rodgers to get hurt? Like, if he gets hurt, do you think Bears fans are like, hell yeah?
I think it's more of an embarrassment thing and an incompletion of passes thing and a looking bad thing. And then how are you going to explain that to everybody thing?
Because no one wants like someone to get hurt. But if this guy gets hurt, I think Bears fans might be a little stoked.
Yes, I think they're fine with him getting hurt because you chose to play the game and you were already hurt. I think that's why Bears fans are fine with it.
One of our texts, 630, it's okay, Layla. I'll say it. Injure that man. All right, you said it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to speak for everybody else, but I do want to hear you speak for yourselves. I think it has more to do with the neutralize this opponent, but make sure you know he doesn't own the park anymore. You know?
If he dies, he dies.
Maybe not to that extent. But maybe there is a slow dissolve, like in Rocky IV, to Mason Rudolph running onto the field. That could happen.
I want him hurt. I want him to die painfully. He's a terrible human. That's from 815.
I want him to die painfully. That escalated quickly.
847. This is probably what I lean into. The deep meatballs will cheer the injury. I think the majority just won't feel bad that he's injured.
Deep meatballs.
How deep do you have to be a deep meatball?
Bottom of the crock pot. Way bottom of that crock pot.
It sounds inappropriate on its face.
Deeper and deeper.
Deep meatballs. That cracks me up. Yeah, 516 also. Also, you are not a covered entity. Cannot be HIPAA. Always a good time to point these things out in conversation because you don't want to be that person being like, oh, yeah, that's a HIPAA violation. Showed you. And then they're like, nah, dude, you have nothing correct about that statement. We try to educate as we go here as a team.
Didn't Mark Grody basically say he wants a repeat of what happened with Corey Wooten? Like, that's... It's calling for an injury, is it not?
Yeah, there's a lot of people calling for an end of a career. Yes, that is true. So I feel that as well. I just also know that it doesn't always end well when you want to end someone's career. I feel like that's bad juju. It's bad karma. Also, Ray, did I think of the mechanical brace in which your elbow was in when Dr. Cole was talking about all of this? Maybe.
Yeah, I had the robotic elbow. I had the brace after I... dislocated my elbow one summer. That sucked.
Yeah. So, and then at least
Aaron Rodgers doesn't have that on.
Every time Ray moved, we would joke that it would sound like this.
Could you have played quarterback, Ray?
I wouldn't have wanted to. That was very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable. I can't even. Yeah, I wouldn't want that pressure on me, man.
So here's the thing, though. Aaron Rodgers is not the only person in this game who's injured, correct?
Several people are injured.
Yeah, as you mentioned, TJ Edwards, who we're still trying to figure out. That's a week-to-week basis. And what about Jalen Johnson's recovery? Because everything surrounding his injury sounded scary. So how was he able to come back from that groin injury so quickly? How is he now able to practice with the team? Dr. Cole, the White Sox and Bulls team doctor, also spoke with Mullion Haugh about that.
You know, this is where science meets sort of the athlete. And we have... the stuff we know, I'll tell you, as orthopedic surgeons, starts often in the test tube and then translates into an animal model and then clinical experience. And the things that we know about soft tissue operations are particularly helpful in returning an athlete back to play. So when there is a soft tissue, which, you know, an athlete's hernia or groin injury or core injury, they all sort of fall into that same category. Those soft tissue injuries are large. Once they're repaired, they are largely healed by 8 weeks. We would argue that by 12 weeks, you're about 75%. We have some really interesting animal data that talks about soft tissue healing. And what I tell my own patients is that, look, by 12 weeks, you're about 75% or more. By 4 months, that tissue is healed just like it started before it was injured. So 12 weeks is a window to return people back where you say there's sufficient strength of a repair when it's soft tissue only that can allow a person to go back to high-level sports. So that's where, you know, I think science really pays off, knowing how things really natively heal. We can then translate into, hey, when can you actually, you know, put it to the test in a high-level sport?
I understand what he's saying. Like, I feel like that actually is a very good explanation of why Jalen Johnson can come back in the manner that he is.
It sounds wild, though, when you consider he says the part where we help fix it. And I'm still like, so everything has to reattach itself?
That's what healing is.
Don't you guys think of the scary story with I forget which baseball player it was. It was definitely during the steroid era, first baseman.
David Eckstein.
Bicep detached from the bone. You guys know what I'm talking about.
What about Danks?
No, it was not Danks, although he's been injured too. The point is, that's what I think of when I think of something detaching from a bone. It just sounds gross, scary, well, and very sci-fi.
Pain, that is the word that comes to mind. Just pain, because it sounds like it hurts. It feels like it hurts. It even feels like healing hurts because pain.
Well, and if you've had a basic muscle strain, he's right about that. For whatever reason, even when it's a slight twinge or when it's nagging, it does take weeks to heal. But then you forget about it because
it gets better.
It's healed.
That's crazy how something can be bothering you and you forget that it was bothering you. And, oh, wait, that must mean it's healed because it's not bothering me. The pain is a reminder that there's something not natural going on with your body. Also, back to this Aaron Rodgers conversation.
People are fired up.
630.
Was it Jeff Kent? No, that was a wrist injury.
630. Aaron Rodgers is going to go down as one of the top 10 quarterbacks that ever played the game. We, as Bears fans, are just jealous of who Aaron Rodgers is and what he has done to the Bears. Nobody should get hurt intentionally, and you really shouldn't be talking about that on the radio. Aaron Rodgers is a great football player. I am a huge Bears fan. I want the Bears to win, but I do not want the man to get hurt.
And then what does 920 say at the top? They need to break it. Polarizing was the exact way to describe all of this. It was perfect. And yeah, 815, thank you for mentioning Nomar Garciaparra too. That also sounded terrible, tore his groin off the bone. No, none of those things. They all sound gross and bad.
Meat?
Oh, it was Caminiti. It was?
Ken Caminiti?
I didn't think it was Caminiti. I thought it was J.D. Drew or I'll think of it in a second. Ugh, I hate my brain.
I like this one. Make him cry and filled with pain. The vindiction level is, yeah.
People are out for blood.
They no, but they really are. I like this. Dick Butkus got it right. Dick Butkus's view on hurting others was that he played to inflict pain and intimidate opponents within the rules of the game, stating, quote, I never set out to hurt anyone deliberately unless it was, you know, important, like a league game or something, or a scrimmage. Or practice, or a family game on Thanksgiving. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Was it Will Clark? It was some first baseman. I'll think of this. I'll think of it at some point in my life. It will be after this segment, though, unfortunately. But you know what I'm talking about. That stuff sounds gross and scary. So there's that. But I'm glad to hear that Jalen Johnson is on the up and up, because we could sure use that guy. Coming up next here, I'm Rahimi Harrison Grody. How about we get an update from Alice Hall? Our Mark Grody is there, so we will do that live next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Mark Grody,
covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
Can I get a couple minutes with you here, man?
I need talking today, man. I'm sorry.
Okay.
We'll go next to Mark Grody from The Score.
How gratifying is it when you win that battle and get the football thrown to you?
What?
Host of the Take the North podcast.
Mark Grody. Mark Grody, WBBN.
Kind of shaking your head at God for a second, though.
Mark Grody.
Baked potato. Baked potato.
With Rahimi Harrison Grody on The Score.
You ain't my bitch.
Okay.
Ding, ding.
Ding, ding.
I can't. Ding. This is Rahimi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. That was a Law & Order remixed by this man, Mark Grody, our co-host. He also hosts the Take the North podcast. He is The Score's Bears reporter.
He is.
Ding, ding.
And ding, 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 ding.
And he joins us from Hallis Hall, getting to the bottom of things, just like that sound effect. Mark, how are you?
Grody!
What's going on, guys? I'm glad that we have these tools, these triggers with which we can break Layla at any given moment.
Ding, ding.
It's very important.
It is important. You're not wrong.
They're just so contradictory. One sounds like a jail cell closing. The other one sounds like a cute little tune.
So is mine is the cute little tune, just to clarify?
Yes.
Ding, ding.
That's ding, it. Ding.
It's very cute. Here's the story.
It's like if
here.
You're putting your stuffed animals on trial. That's the sound effect.
I like it. This is growing. I can't wait for man, it's Thursday. I already can't wait for our Friday show. I have a feeling it's already going off the rails, but let's get serious here.
Everybody's wishing bodily injury to Aaron Rodgers, so you tell me.
Wait, hold on. Serious wait Grody? Minute. Is that what we're about to get? Just tell me. I got to prepare mentally for serious Grody. Go ahead.
Well, there's got to be a serious, concrete, you know, portion of every report I do. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes. Got to have some of the real. But now I want to know from you guys, has it gotten harsher in the Aaron Rodgers waters today? Are you saying like people want him, not only want him to play, but now you're saying that the Bears fans want him broken and not just me saying that?
Oh yeah, no, you started a movement. There are people who basically the requests of outcome physically for Aaron Rodgers have variated from leave him alone to die in pain.
They're out for blood, actually, Mark. Blood more important than a dub, I guess. I guess they'd take both, but if they had to choose, they'd take the blood over the dub.
See, they're like me.
That's dumb.
Oh, man. I mean, I respect it. That's not what I want, but I do. Like, I'm not going to get mad at people who are going to meatball on Aaron Rodgers. I get it. Those Bears fans have earned it, quite frankly. You know, so however they feel about Aaron Rodgers, whatever it is in their heads, they are entitled to it, because a lot of the people complaining paid a lot of good money on their season tickets or their regular tickets to see Aaron Rodgers essentially torture this franchise for as long as he did. But things are good at the old franchise right now for the Chicago Bears. They're a 7-3 team. We got to talk to the coordinators today. I will play excerpts from a couple of the defensive coordinators that I thought were really good today. And this is just a short while ago. First of all, the offensive coordinator of the Chicago Bears is, as you all know, Declan Doyle. And one of the topics of conversation has been in regards to Caleb Williams, a multitude of things in regards to accuracy on the deep ball, which has not been consistent. That has not been a consistent part of Caleb Williams's NFL story so far. So this is Declan Doyle asked about that, the deep ball accuracy, and how and when that will improve, and if that's the next step in his development. Here's Declan Doyle.
I think there are a lot of next steps. Certainly, we want to be able to connect more frequently on things like that. When we have opportunities and shots down the field where we feel like we have a guy with separation, it's on both the wideout and the quarterback to be able to go handle that. And also, you know, we want him to be able to start playing through those progressions when those things don't present themselves, to be able to, expedite his process to get the ball underneath. And so, answers yes and no. We do have to get better in that regard, but there are a lot of different areas that we're working to grow every day.
Follow up to that. What's the process of getting Caleb in a better position to make throws to his receivers on contested catches? Not necessarily 50-50 balls, because I know we talked about that a lot yesterday, even if it's somewhere between 50 and 100. Mm-hmm. Like, what is the process there, or what can Caleb do better?
I think it's a little bit of an evaluation during the week of how comfortable are you throwing you know, that specific route to that player, and then getting a look from, you know, whether it's our scout team defense or we're going against our first team defense, and getting used to those concepts, kind of that yes-no of when you pull the trigger on some of those routes. That's the biggest thing, and it changes week to week because the game plan changes week to week, but it's that comfort level that you're trying to get him to on Sunday where he can go out there and he doesn't have to think, he can just go execute.
I like how cognizant everybody is of the situation and admitting it, and nobody's being defensive about some of the deficiencies right now that exist in that part of Caleb Williams' game. And I also like I do buy in to the idea of what they have done. The foundation they have built around Caleb Williams is better than it was last year. It is solid at this point, and that there are, as they said, next steps to the progression. That's one of them. We talked about another one of them last week, and this ties into it, and that is staying in the pocket that extra tick longer before flinging it, or before bailing out, I should say, even though we're all impressed with the fact that Caleb Williams has eluded sacks at a much higher rate than he did last year.
Mark Grody joining us from Hallis Hall here on Raheem Harris and Grody, and I've been trying to go back and forth to figure out what is it I love about the way they're handling Caleb Williams. I think I finally put my finger on it. The foundation has been so strong, and this is, don't even worry about the fact that it's antithetical to what we saw last year. It's just been so strong. There's no babying. It's very cut and dry, and it's very much, we're walking you through this just like we're walking Caleb through this as the season progresses. And I think that's what I appreciate about this whole process, Grody.
Well, and I think it's, for all of us, it's, here they're giving us examples of reasons why they should trust us, mm-hmm. or that we should trust them, I should say.
Right.
And that is, we saw the example that we always go through, that is the running game. We've seen the gradual incremental improvements from Caleb. Like, we see it before our eyes. You know, we're not seeing the big, huge jump to autopilot yet, but for the first time in a while. And I'll keep a skeptical eye on it. I'm not saying that, you know, this regime is on its way to sustained success, but there have been things that you could actually point to with this coaching staff and say, yeah, they've made that better, and they told us they would make that better. Same thing is happening with Caleb Williams. I don't know to which level he ends up in his career, if he gets to end up being a great quarterback or an elite quarterback, but at least we are starting to see the improvements, and it would appear that the Bears have the proper developers on their coaching staff, and they're telling us step by step where it'll get better. Now, this is a big piece. Like, the downfield throwing game, it's really everything between Caleb being just a meh quarterback in the league, an okay quarterback in the league, and someday becoming a great quarterback in the league. Accuracy, accuracy, accuracy. And you don't got to hit every one. Those are hard throws to make. There's no doubt about it. It's just that the percentage of makes needs to go up in order for this offense to work exactly the way Ben Johnson wants it to.
No, I mean, it makes sense, Mark. And I think there are a lot of coaches who just aren't as confident in what the team does and what they do. And every little tiny thing is interpreted as a secret or a scheme. I mean, how many times did we hear about personnel being disguised as scheme? Except the problem was the scheme was the personnel. You know, and when an offense is truly mm-hmm. good, and when they're truly good at executing, or at least the concepts are, you don't have to worry about that. And that's why they're okay with talking to people.
Yeah, which is wholly refreshing. And I think the players have gotten used to the transparency. I think that Caleb has gotten used to it. I don't know if that's a part that right away they enjoyed as much, but we've talked about it a million times. The respect with which Ben Johnson literally walked into this building, like, that he had, that was on his resume, and that even if it's just players knowing how sought after he was, that is huge, huge respect for the head coach, and it has trickled down to the other coaches who are making a difference on this staff.
We're talking to Mark Grody, our co-host, Raheem Harrison Grody. He is live from Hallis Hall right now talking to us about the Bears coordinators who spoke today. And I saw on my list here, Mark, that you gave us that Richard Hightower spoke. That was quite the roller coaster for his special teams unit.
Yeah. Yeah. We're always talking about Richard's unit. And of course, the big punt return that his unit gave up. But then Duve, the man they call Duvernay, Devin Duvernay, coming up with essentially the game-winning kick return that put the Bears into position to have Cairo Santos ended on a 48-yarder and a big win over Minnesota. However, there's a little bit of drama since the, and I think you guys talked about this, maybe we all talked about it. I can't keep track of this stuff, but the Minnesota special teams coordinator, Matt Daniels, was, of course, super critical of his unit after the Duvernay 56-yard kick return leading to the Bears' win. Daniels called the breakdown of his team sickening and greedy. But the key quote was, a lot of respect, he says, quote, a lot of respect for the Chicago Bears, their unit, Devin Duvernay also. But, I mean, it could have been anybody, said Daniels. If you got a son or anybody, all he did was just catch it and run back to the field. Richard Hightower answered this question a couple times today. I will give you this version of him, and I actually kind of enjoyed what Richard Hightower did. The tone that Richard Hightower is about to give, and then the crescendo towards the end, and you guys might want to turn on a slow clap towards the end of what Richard Hightower says here in defending Duve.
From your perspective for the 56-yard return, can you speak to the level of difficulty? Because there's this perception out there that anybody could apparently do that return. How do you see that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see it in any way. I see, you know, the ball kicked out to us, ball in our hand, and we had an opportunity to make a play. And it's kudos to our guys that went out there and executed our technique, executed our scheme, executed our call. I'm not sure what the perception is or anything like that. I mean, all I know is positivity in our room. And we know when it's time on the clock, don't give us a chance. That's what we know. Anytime it's time on the clock, don't give us a chance. Offense, defense, or special teams.
Heard.
Mm-hmm.
We hear you, Mr. Washington.
How about that?
Talk your stuff, Richard Hightower. Talk your stuff.
And he's right.
Don't give us time.
He's not telling a story. I mean, that's the story of the Bears season. If there's time left on the clock, you better watch your back or your front or your sides. We're coming.
Right.
Definitely watch your sides.
For all units. He's not being selfish either. Just talking about his units.
You cannot have my mashed potatoes and gravy. I am watching my sides.
Yeah, everybody's got a unit and everybody's got to protect their unit. I mean, that's just the way it goes out here.
Did you get that message to DJ Moore?
I'll see him in just a little bit. I don't have Dennis Allen audio right now because we only have so much time for so much audio during this segment, but I'll be playing some of that later on here on The Score. But just to tell you guys, like, Dennis Allen, obviously very respectful of Aaron Rodgers and what he is still capable of doing, and obviously some of the weapons that do exist on that offense still. Old DK Metcalf, that's right, Layla. Old DK Metcalf, who feels like he should be old.
DK,
he's only 28 years old.
DK Metcalf is not old. Have you seen that man run? He is not old. No, don't you put that on him. That is somebody who will burn everybody if he hears that.
You're right. He's only had, though, for whatever it's worth, and I'm probably jinxing the Bears right now.
You're definitely jinxing
one,
the Bears. He's only had one 100-yard game this year, 37 catches, 551 yards, and 5 TDs. So somebody of that immense physical talent and still only 28 years old, I would think the number should be a little bit bigger for a DK Metcalf. I'm putting a little pressure on the kid.
Doesn't it
seem like Metcalf has been around for a decade? I mean, it has been 8 years.
No,
this is his seventh year in the league.
He's just that effective at running.
I need you to put some respect on that man's name.
I mean, okay, when that guy catches 100-yard game, that's not elite, is it? I'm just saying. I mean, with Mr. Rodgers, your Super Bowl quarterback, Marshall? Come on.
Whoa. Slow down, big fella. Slow down. I'm just saying Mike Tomlin has a quarterback, when healthy, who's capable of doing big things.
Can't DK Metcalf run like 21 miles an hour?
You don't remember when he ran down old dude trying to score?
Yes. I do not. No, I do not want to give that man motivation. I don't want to do it.
I'm just saying.
Mark's
I'm
like, we got to make sure things are interesting on Sunday. Let me say some things about DK Metcalf.
Let me all put right. that out into the ether.
I'll be
you
taking
will.
The over on the DK Metcalf props now that Mark Grody has spoken.
This song is not about me. Okay, I know you think I've got that kind of power, and I appreciate it, Marshall and Layla. But I'm just not that powerful. I'm not a supreme being. I am not your higher power. I'm sorry.
We know.
You stir the pot, or are you stirring God. A cauldron?
No, I'm just saying.
We're going to send you to the Vatican to see the Pope.
Like, don't you guys think that somebody like that physically special should have more? And yeah. especially if you have a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers. Like, I don't know. I'm just saying.
Okay, scary. Mark. Okay.
Don't be afraid.
We'll see you in here tomorrow, and we'll continue
it's
this.
It's one thing with Aaron Rodgers. It's another with DK Metcalf.
Yeah, like, come
opinion.
On, man. DK Metcalf doesn't have anything broken right
it's
now.
Good. I got a lot of respect for DK Metcalf. I'm just saying he's not having that explosive of a season.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Okay, before this gets scary, Mark, right. thank you for
yeah, thanks,
from
Mark.
Hallis Hall. You can deal with that with Spiegel and Holmes later today. What time is your Bears hit?
My Bears hit with them is either at 4 or 4:20, probably 4 p.m. It's dealer's choice. That's why I can't give you guys an exact. It just depends on the rhythms of the locker room
you.
And anybody else.
I yes. dare you to have the same tone with them and see how they respond.
About DK Metcalf?
About just in general, might, just very
hey,
cavalier.
You know what I would say? You know what? Honestly, I would pose questions to them saying something to the effect of, you know, DK Metcalf, you know, terrific. Obviously, he's had a great career. Not like what he has been, like hasn't had the explosions. And the answer will be inevitably, doesn't matter. This guy is great. He's done it for 7 years
yes.
in this league. But I report what's in front of me. He's not having an elite year. What do you want me to say?
Well,
I mean, 37 catches, 551 yards, and 5 touchdowns, and 100-yard game this year.
Stop it, Mark
Do not
Grody.
Be afraid. Do not be afraid, Layla. Ding,
nope.
ding.
Stop putting your stuff. No, he is not part of your stuffed animal trial. Mark, thank you for joining us from Hallis Hall.
Bye, Mark.
I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Looking forward to seeing you guys. Bye.
Bye. I understand we have an Aaron Rodgers practice update, so ding, ding to that.
Ding, ding.
And then additionally, callers now 6 and 7 to the score contest line 312-540-0670-0670 will win a pair of tickets to Spiegel and Holmes live broadcast from 2 to 6 p.m. on December 4th at the Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois Performance Stage with special guest Matt Forte. Matt Forte will also host a signing for his new book, Stay in the Game, Making the Most of Every Season. So an Aaron Rodgers update, and J.J. Watt is calling out the NFL, so we'll hear that next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Raheemy Harrison Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The School.
I don't like hearing that.
That's the difference between me and you. I love hearing that.
This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. And I understand we have an Aaron Rodgers practice update, but I don't have it in front of me. So while I look for that, I would like to also point out this from J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt on Twitter quote tweeted Andrew Siciliano, who was giving the news about Myles Garrett and the AFC Defensive Player of the Week. Jordan Brooks of the Dolphins got AFC Defensive Player of the Week, and Myles Garrett won, or despite Myles Garrett having 4 sacks, Jordan Brooks won this week. He also won in week 8 when Garrett had 5 sacks. So that fired up one Wisconsin man who went to the University of Wisconsin, J.J. Watt, quoting saying this, "The requirement that your team win the game for you to win an individual award is very bizarre. It's the best defensive player of the week, not the best defensive player whose offense also played well this week. He's right.
I think I'm going to say no. The same way we have offensive player of the week and special teams player of the week, it's kind of a established thing that your team wins to make you eligible to win those awards. It's kind of an established thing.
I think we kind of knew what was up when Cole Kmet got named special teams player of the week for filling in.
At long snapper?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like at that point, didn't you kind of know what was up?
It's a league named award. They don't vote on it. The league just announces it. I don't even know who's individually responsible for deciding who gets what.
Yeah, the committee. We just know it as, quote, the league.
Yeah, it's
quote.
The league. That means anybody behind a closed door. I don't know if they've given it to the interns to figure this out. I don't know.
Also, Ray, you said we have an update on Aaron Rodgers, but I didn't get anything on my phone, and I didn't get anything in our
That's
Google Doc.
Fine. That's totally okay. Brooke Pryor, who covers the Steelers for ESPN, has this update.
Oh,
Aaron
I found
Rodgers,
it here. Yeah.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers is out at practice with his left wrist in a stabilizer. He took individual reps from the gun. So he's out there on the practice field taking reps.
I know, and that's I just looked it up on Twitter, and we're trying to like zoom in on this far distance video, and you can't really tell. He keeps his hands in his hand warmer quite a bit, and then it just matches the color of the sleeve. So that makes it difficult. But I believe them when they say it's in a stabilizer. It just doesn't give us an indication as to what his status is going to be.
I think, and I don't know what they were. I mean, if the Steelers are the same way they were when I left there and I was covering that team with Mike Tomlin as the head coach, obviously you only get to watch a portion of practice. I'm just wondering if he took snaps under center, because that would be a difficult thing to do with his left wrist in the situation that it's in.
We also want to remind you, come out to Captain Jack's Beverages in Oak Forest tonight, 5:30 to 7. I will be there, and you can register for your chance to win a pair of passes to attend Football After Dark with Nashawn Wright at Moretti's in Bedford Park on December 2nd. It is all brought to you by Remy Martin VSOP. This is my city. What if he comes through the tunnel and then like rips off the stabilizer and is like, I'm fine. I'm sorry, I'm delving into WWE land again, aren't I?
With a break, I think that's going to be hard to do, but I like your imagination there. I can I just present something?
Yes.
What if he's a decoy this week?
You mean like Lamar Jackson?
Yes.
I hope they don't get fined $100,000.
Well, he's actually on the injury report and... You know,
they're doing all the things.
So, listen, if Aaron Rodgers doesn't play, you won't see me complaining.
But also,
my stance is strong.
I also want to say J.J. Watt has a good point. How does a Dolphin end up out rewarding Myles Garrett when
they
he has that many sacks? It shouldn't matter, though. He's
it
right.
It does matter. Okay. Why should it not matter? Like, if we're recognizing the best players around the league in a typical week, no buys, 16 different teams then become eligible to have the best player because they did it in a win. They helped their team win.
But he says it. He's like, it's the best defensive player of the week, not the best defensive player whose offense also played well.
I disagree with the weekly awards. I think it's very different than, say, defensive player of the year. Defensive
or
player
special,
of the year.
Special teams.
Myles Garrett's
week.
Got 15 sacks. He leads the league in sacks. He's going to win defensive player
but
of the year.
But don't you think it's a bit contradictory if the defensive player of the year never gets the defensive player of the week honor?
No.
But
no.
a year it's, is comprised of what?
What
weeks.
What award did Coby White win last year?
That was the month.
Yes, but guess what he wouldn't have won if he didn't have a winning record that month? Eastern Conference Player of the Month. He wouldn't have won.
But didn't he also win an Eastern Conference Player of the Week designation in that month?
Yes, because his team was winning games. That's the point. That's the first separator of, hey, these guys all had great weeks. All right, well, who actually won? Okay, we just eliminated. It's like when you go through the dating app and you're like, these guys all seem like great guys, but guess what? Some of them did not win at looks. They're gone. They're
Damn.
Losers at looks.
That's some cold stuff, Marshall Harris. I do think J.J. Watt has a point, especially if you're talking about like Defensive Player of the Year. You should be able to get Defensive Player of the Week for the same reason.
Your team got
to
win. Maybe Shadur this week will step up and they win, and then he can get Defensive Player of the Week.
It takes Shadur Sanders stepping
yeah.
up for Myles Garrett's defensive power to be recognized?
You got to win the game.
You're not making it sound any better to me.
Okay. That's because you've already dug in. That's
embrace
your stance.
Embrace debate. I'm dinosaur arming Marshall right now. You just have to be there to see it. Or on Twitch. Let's talk to Spiegel and Holmes next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.